You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. It looks like we have some results, but they're partial results, and I'm talking about Iowa in terms of the caucuses. It looks like it was a clean sweep for what I call the Reds, and the Reds are the radical extremist Democrat Socialists. Remember, this is Iowa. This is the Democratic Party's caucus, and the numbers, that's about over two-thirds. It's I think it's right at 70%. So who came in first? Well, it looks like, surprise, surprise, Mayor Pete Buttigieg came in first. But remember, these are partial results. We don't have all the caucuses reporting. We only have a little over 62%, which means we're going to have at least one, two, three more, or maybe just one. It depends how long they want to wait. But what's interesting is who came in fourth. Joe Biden came in fourth. Again, on these partial results, he had just over 15%. That's the threshold. If you go below 15%, you're not going to be in the debates anymore. So this is a key state, especially if you want to get momentum. I thought Bernie Sanders would win. He came in second. And I have the numbers, but it was 26.9, almost 27% for Buttigieg. Sanders got 25.1%. Now, he's definitely a declared Democratic Socialist, so and he is radical and extreme. Warren, the same situation. She came in with, I obviously got the number wrong, less than Sanders. I was just looking at the number, and I said, that's the wrong number. So I must have typed in the wrong number, because I had him with the same total, her with the same totals of Buttigieg. She didn't. I think it was under 25%. She followed, as a matter of fact, I think it was like 18. I'll double check that and correct that. I don't know why I made that mistake. I was rushing this, though, because these numbers were just coming out. And Biden had 15.1%. So he just made the cut. But all these numbers are going to change. You really want 100% all the caucuses reporting. And that's frustrating, especially to the candidates. They had a problem with the so-called application. They were supposed to, telephone computer application, supposed to use that to report the results. The problem, apparently, is that few, if any, people had any training in it. So most people didn't know how to use the app. And because of that, they didn't report the results last night. And it was really this afternoon that we got some information on it. But again, it's not the total of all caucuses. So this, I would characterize this as a preliminary. The stunning result in my mind is the Reds got the majority of the votes, over 70% of the votes. And Biden just barely squeaked by so far. So Biden, in my mind, is out. I've been saying all along, I don't think he's going to be the candidate. I would be very, very surprised if he is. But what's the issue here? In the general election, not the Democrat primaries, let's say it's Sanders, or any of these people, quite frankly. But let's say it's Bernie Sanders. American people are not going to vote for a socialist, and all three are socialists. Now, they might sweet talk it and try to confuse you that they're not. They're big government types that want the state to control as much of you as possible, and they can do that through socialized medicine. They call it Medicare for All. That's what they're for. Problem is, it would bankrupt America. And they would take away the health care of, well, Trump's has the number at 180 million. That's definitely in the ballpark. American people are not going to sit still for that. That's a foolish, foolish agenda. But if that is what the Democratic Party wants to run on, it's fine with me. Matter of fact, it's refreshing because I think it will be capitalism versus socialism. Donald Trump for capitalism and Bernie Sanders for socialism. And may the best man win. And it will be Donald Trump in a landslide. And that's the worry of the Democratic Party. They were hoping that Biden would win the nomination, not so much in Iowa and New Hampshire. New Hampshire is going to vote for Bernie, in my mind. Bernie needs to win Iowa and New Hampshire, or worst case, come in maybe second in Iowa. And he does have a following of a lot of small contributions, but the establishment, the people that have the big bucks, the people that control the Democratic Party, don't want Bernie Sanders. And I wouldn't be surprised, deep down, we'll never know, that instead of Bernie getting a clear victory, it's still up in the air. And that's not what you want. What you want is, we won in Iowa, now on to New Hampshire. Well, that's not going to happen right now. We don't know who won in Iowa. And I think this could go another 1, 2, 3 days. Depends how fast this is being manipulated. Now, they'll deny it till the cows come home. Now, supposedly, they got all the hard records. Well, this is adding votes and making sure you got them for all the precincts. It'll be interesting. If this goes beyond tomorrow, in other words, into Thursday or Friday, then something's wrong. Someone is playing games, fixing it. In other words, votes have gone missing. And who gets hurt the most because of that? It's Bernie Sanders. Elizabeth Warren is falling, and her numbers show that. The big surprise here is Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of a small city in Indiana. Do you think we want a small city mayor being president? That's quite a jump. But see, none of these people really have executive experience. The only one that does is, you got it, Joe Biden. But Joe Biden has a medical problem. It's called getting old, but it's really, he's getting senile. So I don't think the American people are going to vote for a senile president. But he has a bigger problem in my mind. His son took a job where he got paid over $1 million for every year for 5 years. In other words, over $5 million from a Ukrainian gas company. And the only reason he got the job, he knows it, his father knows it, is Joe Biden was designated by former President Barack Obama to be the point man for the Ukraine. And the oligarch, the thug that owns Burisma, wanted to make sure he had access to Joe Biden, and he did, through his son. And that's not sitting well with the American people, because if you look at what the American people earn in a year, many of them, it's a lot less than what Hunter Biden was earning in a month. Hunter Biden had no expertise in oil and gas, no expertise in board of director governance. The only reason he got that well-paid job is because his father, Vice President Biden, was the guy to talk to in the United States. And Ukraine has a corruption problem. It had and still has a corruption problem. And about 1.8 billion of money, mainly loan guarantee money, but other money, has gone missing. Now, I don't have time to go over it, but I have done it in past shows. That just indicates how bad it was. And supposedly, Vice President Biden was going to make sure it didn't happen where we lost the money. Well, we lost the money. And there's a video on YouTube, and if you're new to this, Biden bragged when he gave an interview at the Council for Foreign Relations, bragged getting the prosecutor general at the time in Ukraine fired. Well, what he didn't tell you is the prosecutor general was investigating the very company Hunter Biden was working for. And because of this, I think Joe Biden's career is over as far as running for elected office. He is not. He is not going to get the nomination. He's not going to be elected president. Oh, yes, he has union support, specifically in Nevada. So he might win in Nevada. But in a non-union state, or what's critical for Joe Biden is South Carolina. He really has to win Nevada and South Carolina. If he does that, he's still in the race. But remember, Mike Bloomberg is sort of the joker here. I think he's going to spend upwards of $1 billion, $1,000 million running. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to get the nomination, and it certainly doesn't mean he's going to win. You need to first get the nomination. That requires money, and certainly Mike Bloomberg has the money. And money will buy you organization and will buy you message. But will the message resonate, especially in the general election? And keep in mind, the Democratic Party today is controlled by the Reds, the radical extremist Democrat Socialists. They don't want anything to do with Mike Bloomberg, or for that matter, Joe Biden. They want one of theirs, whether it's Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, or Mike Buttigieg, to be the nominee, and each has their following. So it's up to one of the Reds to really dominate throughout the primary process. And if they do, they'll get the nomination. Will they win? I don't think so at all. I think President Trump will have his landslide victory, and capitalism will prevail over socialism. And that's where the American people are at. Now, I prefer to call it competitive free enterprise market capitalist system, and that's distinctly different than a command and control economy under either socialism or communism, where you have government bureaucracies, committees making the decisions for you. The American people don't like it, but I have news for them. What's the United States today? It is a warfare and welfare state. So while we still have competition in the sale of goods and services, even to the government in terms of military expenditures, a big chunk of our economy goes to either war or welfare. That has to be reduced, and it has to be reduced because we're facing serious financial problems. And the serious financial problem is that we're spending over $1,000 billion each year in excess of all tax revenue. In other words, we have to go in the debt every year. We run a large deficit, the $1 trillion deficit, and it's getting worse. Now, the Democratic Party would make it a lot worse because they want to expand the size of the government. Their number one program is Medicare for All. The issue there is the American people, majority American people, don't want it because, one, they already have health insurance or medical insurance through their employer. And number two, the people that are on Medicare, those that qualify at age 65, they know that Medicare is in financial trouble. And making it available for everybody, and that's what the Democrats want to do, the only moderate position is to make it optional. You have a choice. You can elect Medicare for All, or you can keep your employers. Well, the American people aren't going to go for it. They already remember what happened with Obamacare. You know, the big lie was, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. You like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. The problem was, it was a lie. You couldn't do either. The American people have caught on. They're not in any mood for a big government solution to how people get their health care. Most people today get their health care through their employer, whether it's a business, a school, a college, a church, a charity. They get it through their employer. And most of the people that get it through their employer like their coverage. Doesn't mean it's 100%, but it's a high number. And to the extent that they don't like the number, what do? They go work for somebody else. In other words, there's competition amongst employers, first of all, to hire the best employees, the ones with the best work ethic that show up. They need to recruit them, retain them, and reward them. And the key reward, especially early on, is to have an excellent, good to excellent health care, and most companies do. Most companies, I would say, the overwhelming majority, 85% plus, have decent or better health care. And that's acceptable to most Americans. I'm not going to give you the history of that, but that's the way it is. In terms of unions, you have the same situation. They negotiated a much better plan, the so-called Cadillac plan, and they're not going to give them up for Medicare. If the Reds, the radical extremist Democrat socialists, whether it's Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, or Elizabeth Warren, if any one of those becomes the candidate, and as a result, the Democratic platform specifies what they're for, and they go on record, they want Medicare for all, you're going to see a number of people, I would say tens of millions, deserting the Democratic Party. And then when you come to the general election, Donald Trump will win by a landslide because most people say, well, I can't vote for one of those Reds. And they are leftists. I'm not exaggerating at all what they want. Now, they like to some extent, lead you on. Oh, it's free, it's free, it's not free. They're going to have, the only way they're going to pay for this is dramatically increase your taxes, period. There's no free lunch, period. Someone has to pay, and it's you have to, not some rich person. The rich are perfectly capable of taking care of themselves. They, and I mean very wealthy people, can pay the doctor bills. They don't even need insurance. Now, many of them have it, but they can pay even the big bills. They're wealthy. But most voters like what they have with their employer. There are going to be exceptions, but most do. And because of that, they're not going to vote for any candidate, Republican or Democrat, that comes out for expanding Medicare to everybody. As they say in Texas, that dog doesn't hunt. It's not going to get anyone's back. Now, I'll be the first to say, amongst the Reds, there's probably 20-30%. And I'm being very generous here. In terms of total voters, the Reds maybe have 20-30% on a very, very good day. So they're not going to win over Trump. Could I be wrong? Of course I could be wrong. We're still about less than 9 months away. And Trump is going to be acquitted. Republicans are backing President Trump. The only, in my mind, the only exception to this is Mitt Romney, and I don't know what Mitt Romney is doing. If he votes guilty for both counts for Donald Trump, I think he's through in Utah. He's not going to be reelected. He could split his vote, vote one guilty, one not guilty. But I think the final outcome of that vote will be definitely 53-47. The question is, will any Democrats show any courage? I don't know. I thought maybe two of them would, but I simply don't know. They haven't indicated. We'll know tomorrow, about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll definitely know, and I'll definitely tell you the results. And we'll also be covering in tomorrow's show the State of the Union message. And I think it will be a very good message because Donald Trump will focus in on his achievements, what he has promised and what has he achieved in terms of his promises. I will be playing excerpts, clips. This State of the Union message is tonight, but the studio is closed when the State of the Union message is going on. They usually last, anywhere from 1 to 2 hours, somewhere in between 1 and 2 hours, a little bit longer than one, less than two. And the reason is you got a lot of clapping, prolonged clapping, and they also have guests. The president has to briefly, concisely tell why he has these people in the gallery. And I think you're going to see some of that. You're going to see going over his record, and then he's going to probably 2 to 3 things that he wants to accomplish in his second administration. And that, I think, will be the State of the Union message. I really don't think he's going to, and I hope he doesn't, mention impeachment at all. That will be tomorrow's vote. Wednesdays, we'll see. And I'll play probably upwards of an hour of various clips. I'm not going to play the speech through, but they're highlights, and I will play at least several of the honored guests, their stories, because sometimes they're, in my mind, the tears come to your eyes when you hear some of the people's stories, that president's why they picked this person to be in the gallery in honor. And a lot of people, this is the one time any president gets to address the nation and get their undivided attention. And I think it's very, very important. Obviously, it's the day before they vote on the impeachment. Again, he's going to be found not guilty of the charges. Remember, to find him guilty, they need 67 votes. There's no way they can get 67 votes. That would require all 47 Democrats, and I think they could get 47 Democrats, but an additional 20. 20 Republicans to vote with them. I could see one, two, or three maybe vote with them, but they're still way, way short. They're probably 14 or 15 short. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, the big question mark, and we'll know, is Olympia Snowe, and I think she'll vote not guilty. Mitt Romney is the only, in my mind, Mitt Romney is the only unknown now. And whether he'll vote guilty for both counts or just one remains to be seen. If he splits it, then it's the vote is strictly along partisan lines, 53-47. You have 100 senators. So it's 53 Republicans will vote not guilty and 47 Democrats will vote guilty. And as a result of that vote, Donald Trump is considered not guilty. And it's over with. Thank God, because it was driving people crazy. I think the Democratic Party hurt themselves. The biggest loser out of this is the Democratic Party. And I also would say Adam Schiff. Whatever possessed them to do this, I don't know. I think if it hurt anybody, it was Hunter Biden and in turn Joe Biden. I would not advise them at all to go forward with this, but they made their bed and they're going to have to sleep in it. And I think come November, the American people will show their displeasure by voting out many, many Democrats that went along with this. They never should have impeached them. There was nothing there. Just so you know where I'm coming from. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I do believe in the United States Constitution and believe that what the Democratic Party was doing was an illegal, unconstitutional impeachment. It never should have happened because they don't have a real crime here. Not that they needed one, but they don't have one. And it was strictly voted the impeachment. That's like the indictment in the House was voted strictly along party lines with all Democrats voting. Actually, not all. A couple did not vote for impeachment. But the majority of Democrats voted for impeachment, and all the Republicans and a few Democrats voted against it. It was rushed, and because it was rushed, they didn't have the evidence that they needed to convict, and they didn't pursue remedies that should be pursued in the courts before you go to the Senate. They never did this. They didn't do their job. In a few sentences, they didn't do their job. In other words, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee didn't do his job, and as a result, the articles of impeachment should fail. In other words, they should be voted down. And that's why I think Mitt Romney's making a big mistake if he doesn't vote not guilty on both counts. But Mitt Romney can do what he wants. I think he's right now a very bitter person. He could have won in 2012, but he didn't go for the jugular. That's in essence. And he could have gotten a lot of support from talk radio, especially conservative talk radio, but he didn't want to pursue it. That doesn't mean he didn't have maybe a few interviews, but he did it to himself. He turned away people that would have supported him. I'm looking at the clock. This is going to be a rather short show. I know I've had several long ones, and to some extent, my voice is going. I do expect Donald Trump to give a very detailed account of all his accomplishments, especially in the economic area, and he has a lot to be proud of, although there's a lot of room for improvement. But when you have the lowest unemployment rates, U3 rates in 50 years, the only problem I have with that is those numbers, the U3 rate, significantly understates the problem. The more broader definition is the U6 rates, and those are coming out this Friday. Keep that in mind, and it's going to be interesting looking at it, because the suspicion is the U3 rate will go down some, and so will the U6. They usually move more or less together. But the more important number in my mind, because it covers more people, is the U6 number. But even that's not the best, because at one time we had another definition of unemployment, and you have shadow statistics as still reporting it. In my mind, the unemployment rate is probably 2 to 3 times the U6 rate, and more towards 3 times. So let's keep it simple. If the U3 rate is 3.5%, which what it is, you would expect the U6 rate to be around 7%. Actually, it's slightly under that. And then you would expect the more encompassing number be about 3 times that. In other words, in the low 20%. The government doesn't publish that number anymore. When Clinton was president, he did away with it and got away with it as well. Presidents don't like to hype or advertise what the real, and I mean the real unemployment numbers are, because if you do that, they're significantly higher. You know, I think the U6 rate is, memory serves, it's either 6.7 or 6.8 in terms of, and that's my rule of thumb, that typically is about twice the U3 rate. In my mind, that's a better number, and it's a higher number. And that's one reason presidents don't like to quote it. They doesn't matter who they are, once they're president, they like the U6 rate. In terms of numbers, you're talking a slight, the U3 rate in terms of number of people unemployed is slightly less than 6 million. The U6 rate is double that. It's over 12 million. And in my mind, the more encompassing number, the more realistic number is we have at least 20 to 21 million Americans unemployed. You don't hear that. And you see that where you need to focus in on, and some commentators do, is the labor participation rate. Now, Friday, I'm going to be going over this and see where the unemployment numbers are. I don't think the unemployment numbers are going to increase much by Election Day. And I certainly do not think we're going to have a severe recession or a depression by Election Day. The bottom line is economic growth rate is under the trend line of 3 and 3.5, but it's still growing at somewhere between 2 and 2.5. And that has an impact on the unemployment numbers as well as the compensation numbers and inflation. Donald Trump is going to win because on the pocketbook issues, it impresses people. And it does. These are very, very good economic numbers. My only point, and it's an important point, the administration, could do a lot better. Because until the United States starts balancing its budget, and neither political party is up to the job, we're going to be running these deficits. So I'm critical of Donald Trump for not taking the appropriate economic policies to get the unemployment rate, no matter how you want to measure it, much lower by getting the labor participation rate up where it used to be between 66 and 67%. If it got between 66 and 67%, we'd most likely have a U3 unemployment rate under 3%. I'm talking unemployment under 3%, somewhere most likely between 2 and 3. And we would have a labor participation rate approaching 66%. And that's what we need. But we're never going to get there until we start balancing the budget, closing departments, and tell the American people why you're doing it. And they don't want to tell the American people what needs to be done. And what I'm talking about is downsizing the federal government. Neither party wants to tell the American people that. They want the flexibility every year to have a behind closed doors, an omnibus bill, spending bill, budgetary bill that avoids a default because we just borrow more money. But we're doing it year in, year out, and you just can't continue doing it because someday what's going to happen is the institutions that lend the United States the money are going to say, well, we really like your business, but we need much higher interest rates if we're going to loan you the money because you're a poorer risk. Because as I sit here, we know we have a national debt. Most people cannot conceive of the number. It's a very, very big number. And by the time Donald Trump leaves office, I firmly believe it probably will go over $30 trillion. In other words, $30,000 billion. What is that doing? It's living way beyond the means of the American people. It's burdening future generations. And the only way to stop this is get serious and either close departments or drastically cut the department's budgets. Donald Trump is not leading on this, and he won't talk about it. The Democrats won't talk about it. The Republicans won't talk about it. Neither will the president. That's their Achilles heel, because both are guilty once they get into power of what? Increasing massively government spending. In other words, they're not dealing with the financial mess in Washington. And supposedly Donald Trump was going to drain the swamp. Well, I would think draining the swamp means what? Living within the means of the American people and not having these omnibus budgetary bills. In other words, no budgetary deficits. No surpluses, no deficits. That's what we need to do, should do, and will we do it? No. We'll just kick the can down the road as far as we can. So, yes, the economy is growing. It's slowing down, but so are the economies of many countries in the world. They're either in recession or about to go into recession. So Donald Trump will spend a significant amount of time in the speech bragging on how well the economy is doing, how low the unemployment rates are. And good for him. He has a lot to brag about, and it's not just economics. Judges, for example, he's gotten a lot of limited government constitutionalists appointed, and he needs to get them confirmed. So we're going to have a judiciary that largely has been appointed by the Republican President Donald Trump and passed by the Senate, led by Mitch McConnell. But have we dealt with the state's fundamental problem of every single year requiring borrowing of hundreds of billions of dollars? Well, we haven't yet. We have not yet. Now, what's interesting is President Trump's Gallup poll numbers have reached an all-time high of 49%. That's important, but what's more important in my mind, if you look at just Republicans, about 95% approve of Rush Limbaugh being their candidate for president. Remember, I've switched. This is the Republican Party now. And what came out of a luncheon today, the day of the State of the Union, the White House invites reporters to have lunch with the president. It's supposedly totally off the record. And at this lunch, President Trump announced that he will be awarding sometime in the near future the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh. Now, I applaud that. I think that's a smart move. He deserves it. He's been on the air for 31 years. Most people that are conservatives that listen to talk radio, probably their either number one or two show is Rush Limbaugh. Oh, he has competitors, but he stayed number one. That's important. Okay. Just got the signal I got to wrap it up. And I was right at the point I was going to wrap it up. So tomorrow we'll go over the State of the Union message and the vote in the Senate. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.